Thank you, Curtis. Welcome. I'm going to take some time here to talk to you about a study that we've been conducting at the University of Manitoba now for quite a number of years, and basically we're able to wrap up this long-term study, which tries to see if we can design, develop greenhouse gas neutral cropping systems. And one way I thought of doing that was by the inclusion of perennial forage in an annual crop rotation. So we have three basic questions here that we wanted to ask with this study. One was, can the inclusion of a legume perennial phase, alfalfa, make an annual rotation stop losing carbon? So we've been finding that in the Red River Valley of Manitoba, the soils are still losing carbon. We haven't reached a carbon equilibrium. We have soils with very high organic matter level. And when we take straw off soil, like when we bale straw from wheat, take silage, when we remove lots of carbon in harvest, we're actually losing carbon from our overall soil system. So we wanted to see if we could stop that trend. The next was, can a legume phase make the system net greenhouse gas neutral, and particularly by the lack of or reduced nitrous oxide emissions, mainly because we're not adding fertilizer. And the third objective was, is the benefit in terms of greenhouse gas emissions reduction of the perennial phase, does it have some legs to it? Does it carry over for a number of years? So in other words, once we terminate that legume phase, that perennial phase, do we keep that carbon that we may have sequestered, for example, or do we lose it? Or does that loss in carbon accelerate N2O emissions? So these are the types of questions we wanted to ask this study. So that's where we are. A lot more north than here, and a little bit colder. Winter's just about setting in for us. So I refer to us as being in the northern Great Plains of Canada, and so we do share a lot of commonalities with Minnesota, North Dakota, and we're on the eastern edge of the Canadian prairies here, right there, Winnipeg. The study site is just south of Winnipeg. So we have, the climate is typified by cold winters, so a good portion of the winter we have freezing conditions, and we have some decent warm summers, and the precipitation is pretty decent, about 600 millimeters a year. Now, you've probably seen lots of work done with chamber-based systems for greenhouse gases, and I do a lot of chamber-based work. But this is one study that I use a different approach because I'm interested in budgets. I'm interested in annual budgets of N2O and CO2, and to do that, we really need to apply a different type of approach, such as micrometeorological approaches, which allow us for continual measurements that do not interfere with the soil surface, and we can get nighttime, daytime measurements. We're not interfering whatsoever. So that's what this is showing you, a tower-based system, the center of one of our fields that we're monitoring. We're using the flux gradient technique, where we're taking gas samples from two heights at a known distance, and we're using the wind characteristics in terms of turbulence and transfer of the gases via the wind to develop a K, a diffusivity measure, if you wish, and just using the standard flux equation, we can generate the flux of CO2 or N2O. So we're making measurements all the time, every day of the week, every day of the year, more or less, and we have four plots that we sample, and they're the four plots. They're 4 hectares each, so 200 by 200 meters, four fields. Let's call them fields because they're plot doesn't do it justice. These are quite large. The center is a sampling tower like you just saw, and the center of that, this assembly of four fields, is a trailer, and in that trailer is a laser system, a trace gas analyzer right here. I call it the coffin, that continuously is analyzing N2O and CO2 simultaneously. And there's a switch in here, a manifold switch, so half an hour on one plot, it switches to another plot, next half hour, and so forth. So basically, each plot gets covered for half an hour every 2 hours. So it's fairly good, very good coverage. You know, compared to a chamber-based system, this is incredible coverage. It's the kind of coverage that we need for these types of studies. So talking about the treatments, we started off by doing a common treatments in terms of crops. Corn in 2006, faba bean in 2007. And basically we have two replicate plots on the left side, two on the right side. And so plots 1 and 4, we're going to now move into a perennial phase in which alfalfa grass has been planted. And on the right side, the continuous annual to those two fields, we have spring wheat, then rapeseed and barley, and then spring wheat again in 2011. In 2011, the perennial alfalfa grass was terminated, was killed with Roundup and plowed in late August to early September. And then the experiment went back to common crops on all fields. Corn in 2012, and soybean in 2013. So where they can put them back onto equal footing with the same crops to see if there's any legacy effects of having been in perennials. So pretty straightforward setup. Not so straightforward to keep in operation, of course, because this is where there's a lot of data, a lot of technology, and a lot of potential problems if you don't keep up on it. Now this is the beauty of some of the kind of stuff that we can get with this approach. So this is net CO2 exchange. So this is the overall balance between carbon uptake and loss. So usually with a chamber measurement, we just get respiration in soil. In this case, we're actually getting the balance of carbon between photosynthesis and respiration losses. So in blue is the continual annual treatment, and in red is the annual with inclusion of a alfalfa perennial for 4 years in the middle of that cycle. So at the beginning of the first 2 years, you can see, so anything above zero is a loss of carbon, it's a loss of CO2. Anything below zero is uptake net gain of CO2 in the system. You can see respiration dominates before the crops are planted in the springtime. And then as the corn grew, it took up carbon, CO2 from the atmosphere. We were socking in organic carbon now in the plant material and so forth. And then as the maturity set in, come back up to around zero, then we have net respiration winning the battle, going into the fall, and then winter, everything dies down. It's just too cold. Okay, that gives you an idea what happened. So at the beginning, the plots behave the same. The fields behave the same. So that was good. That's what we wanted to do, put in common crops. Then we switched over to the alfalfa in the one treatment. And first thing you can see, the spring wheat is in blue here, and the alfalfa was planted in the springtime. And you can see the delay in the growth of alfalfa because it was just seeded. It's slow. And in red there, so that first year we got a lot more carbon uptake with the spring wheat. But the following year is quite a different story. The red takes over early on. That means the alfalfa was already present, growing early on in the spring, prior to the seeding of the rapeseed. And later in the fall, there's uptake with that alfalfa. So it's doing what we were thinking should happen, right? It's taking over more of that growing season advantage for growing. And then when we terminated, we see the red taking over in the fall because we had some more loss of carbon through respiration with the termination of that alfalfa. And we can home in on that a little bit closer where we terminated the alfalfa here, and you can see the blue is winning out. So obviously there's some carbon from the alfalfa that was being respired, decomposed. And that had been carried over even into a year after that, a little bit more blue there before planting of that soybean. So we may have been losing, we seem to be losing more carbon actually after the termination of that alfalfa. Now, this is the N2O emissions from 2006. And same colors, so similar emissions with the corn and faba in the first, the pre-ignition years, if you want to call it. We have emissions here after fertilizer addition, both fields treatments, red and blue. Faba, no fertilizer, so no peak. We have another smaller peak where that T is, just before that T, everywhere you see a T, that's the thaw emissions in the springtime when the soil melts in cold climates. When it actually reaches zero and above, we get a burst of N2O in cold climates. So we can pick that up with this methodology. It only lasts for about a week, and it's usually during the day when the temperatures are higher than zero. So it's very difficult to capture that with chambers. So what cool thing that you can see is that when we go into the alfalfa, there is no red spikes at all anywhere in the system. We're not adding fertilizer. It's biological nitrogen fixation, which is not leading to any N2O. So we are reducing N2O emissions, okay, with the use of the alfalfa. And then when we come out and terminate the alfalfa, we get a little bit of, we see the spike there in terms of thaw emissions with both the annual treatment and the alfalfa treatment. So obviously there was a little bit of nitrate that was available. And the following year is pretty much similar in terms of emissions between the two treatments. This example here of when the termination of the alfalfa, then there was a thaw emissions for the alfalfa and some more N2O from the alfalfa that was terminated than from the annual crop system here. So there seemed to be a bit of stimulation after termination in terms of N2O emissions. So this is where the fun begins, where we start to put this stuff all together. And what we have here in black, this is for carbon. Black is the net carbon exchange in the system. If it's the bar is below zero, that means in that year we gained carbon in the soil system. If it's above, that means we lost. So the black is the gain. You can see only a few years do we actually gain CO2. However, we have to take into account the harvest carbon lost that we removed with grain or silage or hay or bale of straw. And it's always a loss in the system, that red. And then the green is actually the balance. Okay? So it's the balance. Now, that's the take-home message. And you can see, generally, except for 2 years, we were definitely losing carbon in that continuous annual system. Now, in the system with the perennials included, we have 4 or 5 years of net carbon uptake in that soil system. And here you can see the overall cumulatives. And there's, so we do have a small net loss of about one megagram, one ton of carbon over, 7 years? 8 years. I've been doing the study for so long, I forget how long we've been doing it. 8 years. We lost over 8 years just one ton of carbon, whereas it's 5.5 tons on the continuous annual. And when we put the CO2 and N2O together in terms of CO2 equivalents, there's about, so black is the CO2 equivalents in terms of loss of carbon, and then the red is the N2O and CO2 equivalents. And you can see it's about 43 tons of CO2 equivalents lost or emitted in the continuous annual, whereas where the perennials were included, we have that. We cut that in half. So we didn't get to neutrality, which I was hoping. However, we cut the total emissions in half by the inclusion of the perennials in our system. So that's not bad. It's going in the right direction. So carbon uptake by the ecosystem during the perennial phase, harvest removals, offset a lot of the carbon. So this is a problem for us. And the perennials reduced N2O emissions. There was some more respiration with the termination of that alfalfa and some more N2O, but still that did not offset the gains that we did during the 4 years of the growth of the alfalfa. So a lot of people to thank, a lot of funders to thank as well, and of course, thank you for sticking around for the 15 minutes for the rest of the session. So thank you very much.
One quick question. This one here?
Yeah. So you have much higher net carbon in that year than the other years.
Yes. 2011, that was the year that we had the termination. That was the year of the termination of the alfalfa.
So that's what happened there. We only able to take one cut of alfalfa. We let it regrow a little bit, and then we hit it with glyphosate, and then we plowed it in. So the alfalfa was there for half a season, basically, growing season, and then we terminated it, and there was respiration. So that's what was happening there.
Great. Thank you, Mario. We have to move on to our next speaker.